This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
Hey, Em and Jen, welcome to Shrink Chicks.
How did it feel, first of all?
I've been waiting for this moment for a long time.
Thank you for having us today.
Thank you for the honor.
Okay, first for the audience, introduce yourself, our wonderful host and moderator today of Shrink Chicks.
The hostess with the mostest.
Of course. I'm Vlada Rotenberg. I am a therapist here at The Therapy Group. Best place to be.
And the host of today's episode of Shrink Chicks podcast. Another shrink chick. Okay, so a few months ago, you had this cool idea.
Yeah, I get a lot of these like crazy ideas. And for some reason, I decided to reach out with it. And you guys were like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, oh, shit, what's happening now? It's like not what I expected you to say.
What did you expect for us to be like, no, that's terrible?
I'm not sure. I think that I personally had all of these questions. And I just assumed that your listeners for sure do as well. And so I thought it would be brilliant to interview you on just all the things that we're thinking. You know?
I love it.
I love that. We're here for it.
So I'm excited. Today's episode of Shrink Chicks, Ask Us Anything.
Ask you anything. Okay. So this is a mixture of questions I came up with plus listener questions. So we're just going to dive in.
Let's do it.
We're going to dive in deep. And then I think go a little shallow, you
Let's
know?
Do it.
We're into it.
What is one thing people would be surprised to learn about you?
Okay. And also, we got these questions beforehand and I forgot to think about them.
I didn't look at them. I didn't open it. I think it's more fun when I don't prep.
Well, okay. Yeah, we did not prep for this. And the thing that makes this hard is that I think that because of the podcast, we've had to share so much about ourselves.
Mine is that I'm really sensitive.
Oh, you think people would be surprised
by that? Yeah, I think I come off pretty fucking tough. And I am. There's a lot of parts of me that are very tough and a lot of parts of me that are very sensitive and soft as well.
I think so sometimes like the tough, the people who come off the toughest are more sensitive.
It's almost like we develop skills to handle that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that would be mine.
I don't know. What's surprising about me? I pretended I was a dog when I was like 5 years old.
You did have a dog face.
But I don't know if that's surprising.
Surprising about you?
I put it all out on the table.
I think people don't see your angry side.
Oh, yeah. But, like, is that surprising that, like, humans get angry?
No, but I mean, but for you.
But when I do get angry.
Yeah, you're tough.
It's scary.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like when you're not used to someone getting angry and they do, you're like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Like you'll go into, like, destroy mode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shit?
No, I don't throw shit, but I'm just like, it all comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a tipping point and then you're fucking done.
Oh, yeah, I do. But I have a long fuse. Thank you.
Fuse.
I was like, fire. There's something about fire. Couldn't figure it out. But yeah, I think that's what it is.
And also, disclaimer, if someone's been listening to this show forever, I'm sure a lot of these things might not be surprising. So right.
Exactly. You know. But that one might.
That one might. What is your motto for life? Like a quote or a mantra or something you live by, if you have one at all?
Mine is, right, there's that really great saying, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when?
Wow.
And that is mine.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's my motto to live by in life.
You know what I really like about that?
What?
Just like you, that means you take like so much responsibility for things.
I take a lot of responsibility for things.
You do.
I'm very serious. I'm a serious lady.
Yeah. Okay. I think mine is that this will not last forever. Like that's something I think that's been really helpful in so many ways of like, I think I talked about this on one of the episodes of like, if I'm struggling with something that I'm going to get through it. And also if things are really good, to appreciate the fact that they're really good, because that will not last forever. No. So that's, I think, something that's been really helpful for me.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Good one. Those are both really good ones.
They're okay. Good.
When in your life did you know you wanted to be a therapist? And what do you think influenced this decision?
Okay. I want to say really early, like really early, being a peacekeeper was almost like my role in my family. So I think it just felt really natural. And I had friends. It always felt really good to be the one that like people came to with things. Yeah. I don't think I knew that I wanted, you know, of course, there's a lot of shit that led into that of like being the savior. Like I was told that I was too sensitive. And so it was easier to focus on other people's emotions rather than my own. And so I was giving to other people the thing that I wasn't given. And I think that that in and of itself fulfilled me in a lot of ways. So I think that role felt really natural. When did I made the decision? I was told I would never be successful as a therapist. So, yeah.
By who?
You know, by my mom. And so it was more, you know, it's her own insecurities about. And so I went into the business world and was so unhappy and realized it was so not for me. And so it drove me into being like, whatever, fuck it. Like, I'm going to figure this out. I'll see if I'm successful in this. And turns out it was the best decision I've ever made. But I had to go through, you know, realizing what I really didn't want to do in order to figure out what I wanted to do.
That was a good answer.
Yeah.
What does mom think now?
She's still struggling with herself. And so times, you know, it still comes out that
they still think it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, I think there's always like a thread of like anxiety in my family. And so that's always there. But once again, I'm able to separate out that is not personal to me. She's very proud of me. And at the same time, there's still anxiety there. So,
yeah.
But once again, I'm able to not internalize that like I maybe used to when I was younger.
Yeah.
I just knew I didn't want to be a teacher. And that's what I went to school for.
You did? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I know I definitely fucking can't do this. So then I feel like I didn't know I actually want to be a therapist until probably a year into grad school. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, okay, all right, I do actually like this. Like,
You were already in grad school.
Like, I was like, I think this is what I do. My mom's a therapist. So I was always like, right. I'm not going to be a therapist like my mom. Yeah, I'm going to be a teacher. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm never going to do this. And so I think that until I sat in the room with my first client, that's what I think that I like really actually knew.
Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I didn't know that. So nothing really influenced you specifically in childhood. You just kind of...
I mean, I think we both had really shitty experiences in therapy and we're both spiteful bees that are like, we could do this better. Like, I think for both of us, that's what we really had conversations, at least about the type of therapist we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And who we wanted to be in the room.
And I think for both of us, like therapy was very much encouraged in my family. And obviously your mom was a therapist. So, you know, we've both gone to multiple therapists in different capacities. And the thing that I found really challenging with a lot of them was that like they were so walled off and clinical. And it was just, I remember saying to one of my therapists in college, like, I feel like I don't know you at all. And that's really hard for me to be able to connect to you. And she was a psychodynamic therapist. So she was once again, like, what does that mean for you? You know, like there was no self of the therapist putting herself in the room at all. So that was really hard. And so when I learned about being a therapist and kind of realized that we can make it our own, that was pretty transformative in a lot of ways for me, I assume for us. I don't want to speak for you, but we spent a lot of time together. So I feel like
you can speak for me.
And okay, thank you. Yeah. And for, I think as we built the therapy group, it was pretty transformative.
And it's really nice coming into a setting like this and also feeling like, okay, I can shed what I've learned and it doesn't have to be that way. Like our first interview together, I think 5 seconds went by before Emily was like swearing. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. I can just breathe for a second. Like this is where I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Just being a person and not all like stuffy, like a lot of therapists are.
I hate to turn this around on you, but I have a question. Like, has that helped you in your like clinical work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there is this part of it that we are people. And I think a lot of people put therapists on this pedestal and that can be really challenging for both therapist and client where I'm just helping. This is collaborative. Like I have by no means, I'm an expert on your life. I'm just not. You know, it was just helpful that I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm allowed to be human. I don't have to know everything and I could still show up and do my best.
Ah, so beautifully said.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not going to cry today. Okay. It's not going
to
happen.
You can if you want to. This is a, you know, open space for you.
It's open space. Sure. But I have mascara on.
Yeah. Fair.
If you listened to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
In addition to that question, did you ever want to quit being a therapist while you're studying to be one?
While I was studying? Probably.
Or it may be in your career, like in the beginning stages.
I think that there was a lot of times that I wondered, is this sustainable? And that was because I, as a clinician, for any clinician listening, was not charging enough and was not setting enough boundaries and was working too late. And so I think the times that I have like really battled with that has been the times where I have been burnt out myself, right? And it makes everything else harder. I would say that's the only thing, is that there are certain parts, people really expect therapists to do this for free, right? Like I've heard people be like, oh, like people charge too much. And like, you know, you should just do this because you like love it. Like, why do you charge for it? But like, oh, wait a second, you can love your job and you still should be getting fucking paid for it.
Right.
And so I think that there has been something that we really work with, especially with our clinicians, about, it's like, you should get paid for your time. You work really hard to do this and you think about your clients all the time and you read about them and you do extra studying outside.
And there, like, you take on a lot of the kind of emotions around it too. Like, and that, to be able to separate that emotionally, and I think, you know, to piggyback off of them, that when you're newer and you're still learning a lot, it's easy to feel like really insecure in the room, or it's easy to not set boundaries because you really care about people, and or to see clients really, really late because you really care about the work, you're really invested in it. But it can really take a toll emotionally on you without the ability to set boundaries and the ability to have balance in your life. And so I don't know if I ever thought about quitting, but yeah, it was kind of like, is what we're doing right now sustainable? And I think that that leads to a bigger conversation of, you are allowed to make changes in your practice and the way in which you're practicing over time.
Yeah.
That you don't just have to stay in one place. You are allowed to change your hours. You are allowed, as your family changes, as your lifestyle changes, you are allowed to make those changes. And I think that that's really important to remember, that you don't have to stay in one place. As a clinician, you could change your specialty, right? You can like study different things. You can, that there's so many ways that you can change and evolve as a therapist. And I don't think you fully know that until you've been in it for a longer time, because you think that this is just how it's always going to be, but it absolutely changes. And so I guess just allowing ourselves to grow and evolve has been really helpful in the ability to sustain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about this before, but this is a very difficult job when you're having a personal hard time. It's not, you can't just show up and do some paperwork and get paid. You have to be really present and work on yourself.
Yes.
I feel like tenfold in order to even show up for someone else.
Yep.
Totally.
So it can be really difficult. And this idea that therapists don't have any struggles is insane.
Not to think. Right.
Not true at all.
I
remember thinking that when I was younger and starting therapy, like thinking that my therapist had it all together. And I don't know. Probably not.
No, there's no chance.
No chance.
Right. And so, and I think that a lot of that comes down to like how we, you know, on top of that, we have to put a lot of work into taking care of ourselves outside of the room so that we're able to function. And like, sometimes that's really hard. Like it really, you have to put a lot of work into that too.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we deal with shit all the time. Life is challenging.
Do you think since COVID it has evolved in a different, like, how do you think mental health therapy, just the space in general, has evolved in any kind of way since COVID?
So I think that there was a trend switch even prior to COVID, especially with like Gen Z and millennials becoming very open about therapy. I think COVID made it so much more accessible, right? That like all of a sudden, like it was one, everyone was talking about going to therapy. We had all of a sudden some businesses that were paying for people to go to therapy, companies bringing therapists in, but we had a massive increase in like TikTok therapists and Instagram therapists, and for better or for worse, it's out there. Right. And so I think the trend was already happening before. I think it's continued since COVID. I hope it keeps going. I hope that this is so normalized now I think for individuals it is. I don't think it's there for couples. I think there's still a lot of shame and stigma with couples therapy. But there's definitely been an increase. I mean, we have the data to prove it.
Yeah. And I think it's just, it's talked about more, right? That like it's, as we're talking about it more, people are feeling more comfortable, open. And because COVID was this like global thing that we had to deal with, and it was so widespread, it's like everyone was going through it in different ways.
Right.
So it became so much more normalized to be able to say like, yeah, I'm really depressed. I'm really isolated. I'm really struggling. Whereas before, with the stigma around therapy, like everyone might've been feeling that way in different ways, but didn't feel as comfortable talking about it.
Yeah. Gave everyone a reason to say, yeah, I'm not doing well.
Absolutely.
Some people really thrive gardening and cooking. And like all right. They probably didn't have kids. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
they got hobbies.
What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about therapy?
That it's going to feel good all the time.
That it's like a quick fix. Like the thing I'm thinking about is it's going to take away your anxiety. Or it's going to take away your depression.
Yeah, it's going to help you cope, but it's not going to.
It's not going to take these things away.
Yeah, I think people think it's going to, you're going to leave feeling good every session, that you're never going to have any emotions towards your therapist. It's a normal part of therapy to get mad at your therapist or get frustrated with them or to feel stuck. You know what I mean? Or
like hit a rut.
Yeah, anything come up around that. It's a very real relationship. And I think also, yeah, the fact, I wouldn't say generationally, where this generation's like really patient, right? So like sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
People hate to hear that.
I think a lot of people don't like hearing that.
They don't.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, there's this idea of like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to therapy for years. But like really, you know, and maybe
you,
this
wait.
Is.
You'd work on your physical fitness for years, though.
100%. But you don't think about it like that, right? Like, you don't think about, oh, well, I have to. I mean, actually, I think about it like that. I'm like, that sounds.
Yeah.
Sounds rough.
Don't you think that if you were someone who's like, you got to work out every week,
yeah,
I'd be like, I can't do that, but I could give you once a month.
That sounds.
That's what I can give you.
A lot. Right.
Yeah.
And it can feel daunting when you think about it like that. But also, like, once a week. Every other week, you know, it ends up being, you know, it goes by pretty quick. Like I can't, even when I think about when I first started going to my therapist, like it flew by, you know? So it's, I think the idea of it is really daunting, but it takes time and it also takes time for you to start to build a relationship with your therapist that it's not going to be easy day one to go in, talk to this person that you've never talked to before, be able to like spill everything you feel shame about, have struggled with trauma. And so we always talk about how important the therapeutic relationship is. And so sometimes it just takes time to feel comfortable enough with your therapist to be able to talk about some of those things too.
It's like dating. Sometimes it's just not a vibe.
Yeah,
exactly. Not a vibe.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And it's not personal to the therapist.
No. But I can see how from the client's perspective, it is very daunting and risky of like, well, what if we don't connect? Then I have to start all over.
Yeah, totally.
So we get that piece, but we also... What's the alternative, you know?
Right.
Yeah. If you weren't a therapist, what career do you think you'd be in?
We ask this question when we interview.
Oh, you do? This is part of our interview process now?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so when you get to a second round interview, here's the secret. Now, if anyone's ever applying, listening to this, if you get to the second round interview, one of the questions we ask is, what would you be if you weren't a therapist?
But I think you asked that.
Do we ask it to you?
I think we probably did. It's our favorite question.
So sometimes we get hilarious ones. Yes. There's been some really wonderful
ones. Some really good ones.
But our answers would be interior designers.
Yeah, we love interior decorating.
Obviously. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
If we would be therapists, we would make therapy offices.
Oh, God, we'd love doing that.
Like staging.
We've also just gotten, you know, because we've built so many offices at this point, it's like become so much more natural to us. And we have like a similar style. So we always say like, we wish we could decorate our houses like this, but like our husbands wouldn't go for it.
It's a little too feminine.
I love that. It's all very warm and inviting and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And people always say something about the office and the space. And I think it just adds to the overall feeling you get when you walk in somewhere that could be really scary.
Yeah.
I think it's an important component for sure.
And that's how we felt.
Also, like, I don't know about you, but I've personally walked in therapy offices before that I'm like, What is this?
Yeah,
place?
Like I saw there was one, I forget if this was, it was somewhere, but there was like a clown picture on the wall.
Wait, I'm sorry. That was an office that I used in grad school.
Yes, that's what it was. I know exactly.
I know there was a room.
Maybe that's why. Didn't you just talk about how you hate clowns? Maybe that's part of it.
Millie was talking about it to you. That's what it was on the phone the other day.
Wait, why a clown?
Why person have a clown, or why is my child scared of clowns? I can answer both questions.
No, why was I can see why Millie is scared of a clown, but why was it in the therapy office?
We're not sure.
Great fucking question.
Was it like a cute?
Actually, we can't answer that question. We're
when
not
you're grad
sure.
School, right? You just got like assigned to whatever room you were in to do like your clinical experience. And the room I was assigned to, the person had a bunch of clown
for you.
The clown pictures and clown statues in their office.
And like, how can clients feel comfortable coming into that? That's my question.
I do not know.
Like, you could be the best therapist in the world if there are clown pictures all over the therapy office. Like, that will haunt me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Uh-huh. Clowns. Yeah.
Clowns.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. Yep. Okay. Moving on. What has been the most difficult part of running the therapy group from the business perspective?
You want to answer the real answer or you want to lie?
I'll do the real answer.
Managing people.
Managing. I think, and I'll tell you, I have to say, first
in
of all.
In my timesheets, everything.
That's been.
Timesheets. Like, I hope you're having a good week.
I write the
5 people on your timesheet. Again,
people are terrified of my Monday text messages. I try to make them so nice.
You're so nice. I'm like, you're so nice. You don't have to be as nice as you are.
But I am.
You like know you fucked up when you get that
text. Yeah. I'm like, I hope you had the most amazing weekend. And then I'm like, there's an issue in your timesheet. But honestly, I think managing is getting easier.
Yeah.
It's not.
We weren't trained for that.
We weren't trained, and we haven't done this before.
We didn't go to business school. We have no idea.
Yeah, so that's I think that there's growing pains at every point as the business grows. I don't think it stays. This is kind of like my motto, right? Like, it doesn't stay the same. I think that, you know, managing people is not something that we are comfortable with. We don't like micromanaging.
Yeah.
We are very much like, we want everyone to feel like they have autonomy in their work.
But then sometimes you have to,
manage.
Yeah.
And
so, there's other choices you don't get.
Yeah.
And like, as therapists, you don't really have to do that. You're just like, you take the reins.
Yeah. I think it's just been a huge learning process for us, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I'm being serious.
Thank you. That means a lot. It really does.
Like, sometimes it feels too, I'm like, I need like more, tell me what to do. But I also appreciate being trusted that like, I am an adult. I know what I'm doing and I am left to make decisions that I'm capable of making.
And that's kind of how we feel. Mm-hmm. I think also we hated that. Like we hate being micromanaged. That's really hard for us. So we would never want to do that to other people.
Yeah.
We really believe like, you know, that being a therapist is a calling, right? Like, everyone's in this job and everyone's at the therapy group, you know, from people we hired, because they really believe in the work that they do. And so we trust you guys, you know, we trust you to do that work, and we're here for support if you need us. But yeah, I think that's part of it too, is that like, that does not feel like a comfortable role for us.
No.
No.
Yeah. Is there anything else
that feels hard?
I mean, the other thing is like the amount of times people have said, like, question if we're the owners or not, because we're young women.
Yeah,
like, what we have a lot of issues.
Like,
with,
if
like,
we like dealing with outside
a landlord, a contractor, landlord, people are shocked when we sign the checks. Shocked.
Ugh.
Like, someone like this in our right, we have this new like location right in house, right? And the contractor like said,
I was working with the contractor.
Like, we were directly working
months.
We're the only people he knows. Text message, everything. And he says to Jen, well, do you have to get this approved by someone?
I was like, who? And he was like, Aaron?
Aaron, who is my husband, who we say is the facilities manager because we've had
and
sex.
I was like, Aaron?
Because, yes.
I was like, we own it. What are you talking about?
So,
it's very common. And we get comments all the time of like, how like surprising it is, which like doesn't really hurt.
No.
But it's kind of like...
It's just interesting.
It's interesting,
we are
so
shocked now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, when we were first opening this, like, I kind of get it. Like, we were
so young.
But it is interesting that you'll be writing people checks and they still don't believe that we're the ones signing them.
So is it mostly men?
Yes.
Or women? Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Well, that's not shocking.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
They're all fucks.
It's always middle to older men.
I think something we also had to learn is, like, you know, we very much are ourselves as professionals, right? Like, we don't put on a front. We don't try to be anyone that we're not. And I think that, like, when you're dealing with other businesses or other, like, we are very much just us. And I think that throws people off a little bit.
On the podcast, did we talk about that when I got in trouble or when I got yelled at?
Oh, no. I don't think we talked about that.
Can I tell that story?
Please.
Okay. So here's an example.
I don't think we talked about
it. One of the harder things. Yeah. I don't know. And Nikki's saying no. Okay. So she's the only one who actually listens
and
to
remembers our podcast.
I'm like, Nikki? Okay, so a few months ago, right, we're like going through all the stuff. I mean, we have thrown down a ton of money into this project. We're the ones on the floor for everything, whatever.
It was a stressful time in our lives.
But, like, we own this business. We've done this before. We've opened other offices. I send this email introducing ourselves to somebody we needed to be on good terms with, right?
It was the nicest.
I just said, it's so nice to meet you. We are in the business of relationships, and I hope that this relationship ends up, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to have us a working relationship. And if we ever do anything that doesn't work, please let us know. This is what our job is. This is what's important to us. Like, whatever. Like, I just send this email being like, there's nothing we couldn't talk through, no matter what happens in this situation, right? Someone else who CC'd on the email, who is not directly involved in this, just happened to be on this email thread, calls me on the phone 1 minute later and says, I can't remember what she says. I was so
She hard. Said, like, she is not your friend.
She's like, I just want to be straight with you. Make sure you understand something. I think she said girl to girl. She said, that person, so-and-so, is not your friend. You are too friendly in your emails. This is a professional relationship. And so that's the background, right? So she's like, yell, and she's on the phone with me yelling at me. And at first I'm like, wait, did I send you a different email? Like, I'm like, did I fucking like,
and she
texts you talking shit or something, you know? She, like this email was so
it was so
nothing.
Weird. And
it
she
was
called
so,
and
like, not professional, right? That was her argument.
Exactly.
And her calling, then screaming at me on the phone, and she's telling me I'm not
and
professional.
And Emily called me and she was like, I just need to like reality check this. Did I do something wrong? And I'm like, no.
And you're
like,
with your brother and sister-in-law.
I was with my brother and sister-in-law, and they're like, that's ridiculous. So I think that that's a piece of it too, is like being, once again, it's a learning curve. As we get bigger, we are in connection with other businesses and having, you know, different kinds of communication. And so
we had a woman say to us once, probably about 2 years ago now, the way that you conduct yourself, so you are never going to have a successful business. Good luck with everything. Your business is going to fall apart.
That makes me so mad.
Like, see, but like, it didn't.
It didn't, bitch. Where are you now? What does she
but
do?
But also, in some ways, it makes me really sad for that person, right? Because, like, they never got to be themselves at work.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Right? Like, if you think that this is completely unsustainable for us to do it this way, tells me that you never for a day in your life has been able to breathe at your job. And honestly, I just feel really sad for you about that.
Yeah.
Because another thing we've learned a lot is, like, the only way to make this sustainable for us and hopefully for you guys is to be able to be fully yourselves, right? To be able to feel like you can be yourselves and you can bring yourselves to the table and you can have real conversations. And I think breaking down that like very professional wall in business and for you guys to do that with your clients is like, we just want to emulate that everywhere. And so navigating that in the business world, I think has been another challenge that we've had to figure out and be able to say like, that's their issue if they struggle with the way in which we communicate. That's about them. That's about them never getting the space to be able to do that. And we can still hold on to ourselves and our values in everything that we do.
Absolutely. It just baffles me that people take it from one step that's in their mind to reach out and tell you what they're thinking.
It really is triggering.
People love giving you unsolicited advice when you own a business as a woman. And one of the things that we have repeatedly said, all of these little things that have happened to us, every time we say, now would this, and every time I say to my husband, I say, would this ever happen to you? And every time he says, no effing way would I ever receive that email. Effing way would I ever receive that phone call.
It's so frustrating because women do everything. I mean, let's be honest, like we are better at a lot and just don't get credit for it.
Right.
Yeah. But also don't like the way we do it.
I think that's why this business is so successful, is because you guys are the same way on camera, off camera, in session, out of session, with your friends. But there's just no questioning how you feel or what you think.
Yeah.
I think people appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Oh, right now. So nice. This is really nice.
This is really nice. I'm having a good time. It's very hot in here. That's why I didn't. But I'm going to just show it. Okay.
Wait.
Yeah. So, good. Oh, good. Love it. Oh.
That.
Wait, yeah, that's fine.
The particular office you're in gets very hot.
It's all the this time that used, of day. Used to be my office.
Yeah.
It's very hot. I'm sweating.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
What is the long-term objective of the therapy group and Shrink Chicks? So it might be like a two-parter if they're different.
It's a great question.
Can you tell us?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. We've never
had a goal
in throughout the almost 9 years running this practice. There was no point where we said we want to own a practice as big as it is now. So what we've done.
I still say I don't want to own a practice as big as it is. Every month I'm like, can we just bring it together?
So what we've done is just like read the practice and like how it's growing, and we've just grown with it. And so
we want it to serve people in whatever way it needs to serve people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have an objective other than we know that we can figure it out as we go along. That's what we've done this whole time. And so we've never sat down and be like, I want to grow this practice to this amount, or I want to expand to this state. We've kind of just like read what was coming in, what people needed, and have hired accordingly, have adjusted accordingly. And so I think that's something that we've tried to do.
I think Shrink Chicks is to make therapy relatable no matter what, right? To like never use psychobabble, to explain terms to people, to make it a relatable way. And the other function of Shrink Chicks is obviously to market for the therapy group.
Sure.
Right. Like there's ads on it, but like I can promise you we make kibbles and fucking bits. We make like no money from the actual podcast.
Ads are fun to do though.
Yeah, those ads, yeah. Jen and her sex voice.
My sex.
I live for those ads.
So I'm so glad to hear that they're also entertaining.
Yeah. So but Shrink Chicks is to make therapy relatable and also to market for the therapy group. It's never been to like have a gajillion listeners or to make all this money from it. Like, you know, like it's never going to be like the main thing. It is a sect of the therapy group.
Yeah.
What is each of your individual objectives for life? What is your goal in doing what you do each day?
We talk about this a lot, I think.
Yeah, we still have nothing. Chances to eat out every night.
I was just going to say, when you said that, honestly, I'm like, Yeah.
Is that not the greatest goal ever?
That's the only thing.
Jen wants to eat out.
So I want to eat out every night.
Every meal. No, your goal
every meal. Yeah, yeah.
I want to be able to eat out.
I want to be able to eat out every meal. No, but I think like from like a balance perspective, I want to be able to have time for myself and balance the business at the same time. Right now, I think I have a bit of a work addiction that I'm trying to break. And I'm so cool because I just like focus a lot. This week I've been pretty good.
You've been so good.
Just haven't done much.
Yeah. Sometimes you need those weeks.
You do.
Yeah.
So I think just having more balance, like being able to feel more balanced, less anxiety around business stuff. I don't know what that means or what that looks like, but I think being able to have more balance in general, more time for my family.
I mean, I think I was put on this planet to be Millie's mom.
That's nice.
Like if she has a good life, that's good for me. Like I feel very like, I think that was like something that came, I always knew what I was doing in work and I didn't really know why I was becoming a parent. And then when I really started to understand the point of being a parent for me was to raise good humans and to do that. So I feel very much like that's a really important role for me. I would just love for therapists to come here and to work here and to leave toxic environments.
Yeah.
There are too many really bad places that burn out clinicians. And so like for me, like I really do feel like a big part of like my personal journey is to like save the therapist.
Save all the therapists. Have that, like to have a community of therapists that feel once again like they can be themselves. They have balance in their lives. Like I want that to translate to all of our therapists, like in the Philly office that we just opened up. You know, we were trying to emulate what we have in Westchester because Westchester is such community. We have a therapist lounge and we're building that in Philly too. So I think that like allowing therapists to have that space, be able to do good work, feel really good in what they do, feel like they can be themselves and come and like just feel really amazing in what they're doing and not burn out
yeah.
is really important to us.
I love that. I'll cry about what you said about Millie.
Oh, that is how
it's,
I feel.
So amazing.
I mean, you're a mom, you know. It's like you're just so obsessed with them. It's so hard and you're so obsessed at the same time.
Yeah. It's a very conflicting feeling at times.
It is.
So I want to ask you this because I know your mom was a therapist. Can you share things that you would do different or parts that you would keep the same in your experience with having a parent that's a therapist and now being a mom?
I think that one, the way my mom was trained to be a therapist is very different of who I am as a therapist, right? My mom's a psychologist and did a lot of testing. And so like one of the things my mom would do growing up was like, if I had an issue with someone, she would say, what's your part in it? Which like I love for adults, but I don't love for children.
Yeah, sure.
So like my first thing I'm going to do for Millie always is like, I'm on her fucking team, no matter what. I do not care. I will. And you're like this as a mom too. Like mm-hmm. I will beat a bitch. Like I will
fuck a kid up.
I am going to have Millie's back first.
Yeah.
That relationship to me, my familiar relationship, my relationship with my daughter is going to always come first before like, you know, being embarrassed at school or worrying about what another parent thinks of me or something like that. Like to me, that is like one thing I would do different. And I just think my mom's trained like, you know, a psychologist, it is like a little bit different of like how just the relational work I do. And I think it was just like a different time.
Yeah, there's no gentle parenting or anything right out there that
was, they definitely like, didn't have like, yeah. They didn't have like mom Instagram, like influencers teaching them how to like self-regulate so they can like be gentle parents and co-regulate with their kids.
Could
like
you that, imagine?
Yeah, yeah I could. Imagine. It would be lovely.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be great? Maybe like...
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, there's like such a lack of resources and attention to what being a parent means and how mm-hmm. difficult it is, especially for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Who has been an influential person in each of your lives?
Like I literally almost turned up because I knew you were gonna say it too.
That's
what you're gonna say, right?
I'm literally tearing up.
That's so cute. Are you guys crying?
So nice. I am.
Are you tearing? You are. Okay, someone else, not each other.
I can't help it, but I really think like we have influenced and supported each other in so many ways, and have gone through so much together mm-hmm. that it's like the first thing I think of.
I know. It's so beautiful.
Are you crying now? Or just me?
No, I'm still crying, but like it's harder for me, you know? I'm so lost.
It's okay. I don't take offense to it.
Do you guys ever fight?
Like, no, it's there. We disagree.
There's
certain things we disagree. There's certain stuff in the business we've disagreed with. For the most part, one of us will give in because neither of us care that much about anything.
That's what happens.
Like, I'm like, all right, give me two reasons why. Jen will sit with me and be like, what would it take?
We know when we're like disagreeing and we just like.
Weeks ago, Jen sits me down at dinner and she goes, what does it take from you? What do you need for us to grow this more? And I'm like, I'm like, nothing. There's nothing you can do. And then, like, by the end of the meal, we had come up with, like, three things that I needed. And, like, and so, like, I can be convinced of anything.
But, like, but that is where I think we do a really good job of, like, supporting each other when we really need it in order to move forward. Because this is not easy. You know, it's not easy stuff. And we say all the time, we can never do this alone.
Never.
Never.
But okay, other people influence us. I mean, we have been so lucky to have so many professional colleagues that we're close with. Right? Dr. Thomas Wood, huge influence.
Oh, yeah.
My supervisor, but also Jen gets...
I get the secondary.
The secondary influence. He's amazing. I think we've had so many
take pieces from, like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take... And we'll like try things out and see if it works for us. I think one of the big things that we try to remember is that we have people who like inspire us or we find influential. But I think the thing we had to check ourselves with is not comparing ourselves to other people to be able to like pave our own way and say like we can still do this our way and take like things from different professionals that we want to, you know, bring into the business. But yeah, I think people in general who inspire me are like people who like are very comfortable in who they are, no matter what they're doing.
Natalie, the astrologer.
Exactly.
Have you ever met anyone who is more?
She's just so herself.
Authentically
like,
her.
Like it's, yeah, it's who's people.
She, Natalie who did the birth charts she's on great. The right. episode.
You need yes. to get, you need to get yes. us. You need to
I
get
do, don't I?
Yeah, oh that, my God.
Especially, yes, you're going through just like a little bit of like, bleh, in your life, like get a birth chart. Bleh. It's very interesting. Get a reading with Natalie.
I should do it.
But, yes. But I will say, yeah, we've had amazing supervisors. We've had amazing colleagues, okay, professional things.
This is going to sound so corny, but I really mean it. Like, I think clients.
Oh my God.
Are so inspiring.
Yeah.
I agree.
I
learn from them all the time.
Like I sit with clients and I'm like, holy shit, like you are so brave. You have done so much. And I am so impressed with like the resilience that clients have. And I think that has been hugely inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And the parallels sometimes of your own life and what's happening for you, seeing it in your clients. It's like,
yeah.
Weird sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you see, like, they get through really, really hard things. And that's what, once again, I try to remind myself, like, no matter what we're going through, we're going to get through it. Like, there's human beings are incredibly resilient.
They really are. So adaptive. We just adapt.
Adaptive. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just keep it moving.
Exactly.
We're going to do it. What's your favorite TV show?
Handmaid's Tale. We're obsessed.
But yesterday was the season finale.
And I don't know what we're going to do with our lives after this.
Working about, moms. Wait, what?
What about Yellow Jackets?
Oh, fuck.
We love that, too. That needs to come back.
It is coming back. It is coming back soon. They're done filming it.
Thank God.
Yellow Jackets, The Wilds. I didn't love season two, but I love the show The Wilds.
They canceled it.
I know.
The Wilds?
Because season two Wilds on Amazon good. Prime.
Yeah. The Wilds. Ted Lasso. Funniest fucking show. Oh my gosh, Ted Lasso! If you want to just feel pure joy,
that's exactly
watch Ted
how.
Lasso.
Okay, Ted Lasso, The Wild.
Pure joy.
She's writing them down.
Yes, Ted Lasso.
Lot of
shit
them
to
down.
Watch. I'm telling you. Okay.
So yes, but like we, I mean,
we
every,
freak out on
we
hand.
Watch. We both watch Handmaids. Anywhere
as
from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Wednesday mornings.
Emily will text me at like 7 a.m. She'll be like, did you watch yet?
And immediately call each other the second it's over and then like go through. I'm on multiple Handmaid's Tale group chats and I listen to a podcast after each episode that it goes through.
It is so
everything.
Symbolic and like the writers are so incredible. The actors, just everything about it. We're obsessed with Handmaid's Tale.
like that show, and then, you know, and sometimes when there's up. Like a long break, you forget,
it's so,
and it's
it is
hard
so
to get back.
Long in between their
yeah,
seasons.
It's painful.
It is like a year and a painful. Half. It is so. It is yeah. really rough.
At that point, I've like moved on.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You watch like a million yes. shows in between.
Yeah. yeah.
What is your attachment style, or how, what do you bounce back from? How has it evolved? What was it in childhood?
Anxious, avoidant. That.
Okay.
Anxious, avoidant. It bumps more into avoidant. So same. Growing up more anxious and now more avoidant as an adult.
Huh. Same.
Yeah, oh. yours is similar.
It's
definitely
very similar.
Neither of us are secure. I can tell you that.
No, I think we have time.
Who is secure?
I don't. That's the thing about attachment is that like you can't. Right. Does anyone fall like into one no. box, you know?
And, like, what does it even mean?
What does it all even mean? And
I don't
end?
Remember if that was my question or someone else's.
It's okay. It's all right. It's important. But
it is important.
You know, it's good to know about yourself.
Biggest myth or bad advice you see on the internet?
Oh, almost everything was so bad.
More so relating to therapy.
I know I'm being redundant, but like the quick fixes.
Yeah.
The quick fixes.
That everything's that, trauma.
Yeah.
Not everything's trauma. Not everything is fucking trauma. It's not all trauma response. Not a trauma response.
I think that like talk therapy will help with everything. Like medication is really important sometimes. I think that's really important
to acknowledge.
Different
types of therapy is also significant. It's not always talk. Not everyone's able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think, to like have like, you know, this is better than other things. Like, I don't believe that.
I think black and white statements in general.
Yeah.
About
it's really
things.
Dichotomous thinking.
Yeah.
There's also, I mean, I also just feel like there's like people like, I hate like sometimes when they do like this red flag of the therapist thing.
Yeah.
Oh my
sometimes
God.
I'm like, God, just let therapists be like people for once. Like, let us make mistakes and let us fuck up.
Because it
and,
ends
like,
up, it's, it ends up like villainizing them in some ways. Right. Yeah. But I think that that's clickbait these days that people want the black or white thinking because it feels like, okay, if I can think about this very dichotomously, then I can make an easy decision. It's like, that's the quick fix. It feels safer for us for things to be very black and white. Like I can just figure this out. But unfortunately, there's a lot of gray in there. And fortunately and unfortunately. And so I think that there's a lot of clickbait in like, this is how it is. And so people make those statements in order to get a lot of that, you know, the likes, the acknowledgement for it. And so I think any dichotomous.
Internet's a wild place.
It is.
You gotta watch out if you're not in a good space because it can eat you up and you can be really convinced that your entire life is wrong.
Right.
All of a sudden.
Right. If you're feeling insecure, you're struggling with something, it's easy to attach yourself to these things and then be hard on yourself. And so just being aware of
like if you're struggling, just get off the internet.
Yeah.
Totally.
And definitely get off social media.
And we know that's hard.
We know it's hard. But it is not fucking helpful.
No.
Get
outside.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What if it's cold, Jess?
Put a jacket on.
Is regret something normal to experience, or do you think it's only in hindsight that we feel it?
No, I think we feel it all the time.
Yeah.
There's this motto of like, no regrets, live life, no regrets. But what the fuck? Don't
I mean, if you can do that, you go, girl. Like, if that's actually a thing you can do. But, like, I'm pretty sure, like, you then fall into a diagnosis in the DSM. Like there's, you're going to have regrets, and it's going to be okay, and I have a million of that. I'm like, how many regrets do you have? I, like,
so
forget
many.
What I wore yesterday.
What'd you wear yesterday?
I don't know.
It was probably
like,
amazing.
It's just an example.
No, but, yeah, I think it's, like, the, what's the meaning that we make of regret? Whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
You know, like, because you can think about, I regret this, but it led me to where I am. Mm-hmm. You know, like I made this decision and like, yeah, it could have taken me in a different direction. Like, do I regret going into the fucking moving to New York after college and like going to the business world and being fucking miserable? Like, yeah, that was a really hard time in my life. But I probably wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Well, you wouldn't have been in my class.
And I wouldn't have been in Emily's class because I'm obviously so much older than her.
Yeah.
Are you really?
No, I'm like a year.
No,
but it's a fun inside joke that I'm letting everyone into.
But Jen's 1 year older, and we really like to remind her that she's older.
Yeah. Like, I'm an old ass bitch.
I'm the baby. But no, if you didn't go, then we wouldn't have been in the same grad school
class,
and we wouldn't have had this business.
Exactly. So it's like not like, oh, everything happens for a reason. But I think that there, you can have both where you're like, I regret this. This was a really horrible time in my life. And also it led me to where I am now, that like both things can be true.
Everything happens for a reason. That really gets me.
You know,
like, does it? Do you have proof of that?
Right.
We don't all fucking actually know that.
And I think that that's like a way that people try to make meaning of like shit situations.
Yeah,
totally.
You know,
which is okay.
Right.
We're just out here all trying to survive.
We're all trying to survive here.
This kind of goes along with the question I asked before, but what is the number one issue you see in our society today as it relates to mental health in the therapeutic space? It doesn't have to be necessarily social media related.
Oh, wow. Deep question.
Accessibility?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would probably be accessibility. Accessibility and probably like cultural and understanding competency, right? Like we have too many people that are generalists that don't actually know how to help someone of a different culture or with an eating disorder or like any type of specialty thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be something that's difficult.
I think maybe like an ego that keeps therapists from continuing to learn.
Mm.
Like, and I think this comes from like this idea of like therapists being on a pedestal of like, we should know everything,
yeah.
But
yeah.
We're human beings and there's human beings are so complex that there's so much to learn all the time and things change.
And I wouldn't even say, you said it as an ego thing. I think of it as a sustainability for clinicians to have enough money to get time to read and rest.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? Like, I see it as like if we're paying people,
yeah,
you know, like $15 an hour with a master's degree and tons of student loans and jobs where they don't feel safe. Like, yeah. No shit, they don't want to learn more.
Right, of course. You just want to like collapse. And
yeah. So I think like, you know, and the reality is like therapists aren't taking insurance because the insurance reimbursement is so unbelievably low and we have to give diagnosis and all this other stuff. So like it all, the accessibility, it goes around every portion of it.
Really good question. Point. Yeah. What was the biggest, most impactful part of your healing journey? Assuming you have a healing.
Having an ego death.
Wow. Say more.
Wow.
Getting over my ego. Yeah. I mean, especially like when it comes to marriage and relationships and motherhood, like being powerless and vulnerable and letting somebody in.
I love that.
Mine's probably just like expressing myself in general.
Just like tend to not do that?
Yeah. Like I was
shut down.
Yeah. I was always told like that I was, you know, my feelings were invalid. And so being able to learn that that wasn't true. And finding my voice, I think, was really important. And like, you know, we say healing journey, like it's ended. We're right. still on a healing journey still for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll end with this one. If you could have any guests on Shrink Chicks, who would it be? Anyone.
Do I get to be mean to them? there's people I have come on Shrink Chicks to be mean to.
The bitch that called me about like, the email?
Yeah. Why did you do that? Johnny Depp, so I can be mean to him. I don't know.
Want to be mean to him.
Just don't like everything that happened with
I have like different feelings about like why I would want them on.
Yeah, who?
Like Jennifer Lawrence, I just want to talk to her because she sounds fucking fun.
I'm
going to
be friends with
someone.
That's true, right?
Okay.
But then I'm thinking like people I want to like understand and analyze. Yeah. Like Amanda Bynes.
Fuck. I would fucking love Amanda Bynes on this show. And just how you doing, baby?
Yeah, like how you doing?
Are you okay? Yeah. That's a very good one.
Isn't that a good one? Okay. I'm like trying to think of who else.
I know everyone wants us to say like Oprah, Brene Brown, but like that's actually not mine.
Alanis Morissette
is 100%.
She's going to be at the Psychotherapy Networker, and I've never been more excited.
That's 100% yours. You love her.
She was my first concert.
Should we get her on? I feel like it's
possible. We're working on it.
Nikki DM'd her. She didn't answer.
Really? Oh
okay.
My god!
I'm gonna
if
run
anyone
up to
anyone listening knows Alanis. Some into Alanis.
Anyone knows
than.
Alanis?
How about you?
Yeah, well, yeah. Who do you want to have on Shrink
Chicks? I don't know.
We turned it around.
I don't know. There's so many people that I see like when I'm on social media. I'm like, ooh, that person. Ooh, that person.
Send them over to us. And if you're listening to this and you want to,
like Robert Greene is like the first person that comes to mind. Just someone in that.
Okay, in that area.
Someone like that, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Not where my head went. mine was like, yeah, who I want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
Maybe so Richard Schwartz. Maybe Richard Schwartz would be really cool.
You know what?
To have on.
The cool thing about having guests is that, like, it gives you an opportunity to talk to people that you never, ever would have talked to. And so that's another thing that I love about the podcast is that we talked to like Terry Real. We had like two conversations with Terry Real. When would we ever get that opportunity? Yeah.
I thought you guys were like friends with him. It was a very
we love each other. We love each other.
Yeah. We think we're friends.
He thinks we're friends too.
I think he does.
Yeah. I think we all love each other. Yeah.
But yeah, I would say, but you know, time will tell. TBD, let us know if there are
people. Yeah, if anyone has a dream guest. Lindsay Lohan.
You let us know. Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan.
Manna Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, and Britney Spears together.
Oh, that would be the best.
Britney Spears would be a good one.
Britney Spears would be a great one. Yeah.
So
can I just ask one more?
Yes, you can.
If you had $1 billion tomorrow fall on your lap, how would your life change? How would the business change? How would anything you do change on a day-to-day basis? If money was just no longer.
We would redo the waiting room. Okay. Great.
We would definitely go on a vacation.
We would custom build. If we had $1 billion, I would make us custom build a location.
Cool. Yeah.
We would own and build a location to be exactly what we need it to be.
Yeah.
Not have a shitty landlord.
Yeah.
That's what we do. $1 billion is very different than $1 million, right? If I only had $1 million, then I would like take a vacation and like, put some stuff in.
$1 billion, we could do a lot with that.
Like, you know, send my kid to college. $1 billion, I would custom build all of our offices.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
From the ground up for exactly what they look like. I would give all of our clinicians like 3 months paid off.
Yeah.
During the year.
We could go on a clinician retreat.
Yeah, I would take everyone like on a big, huge vacation.
Yeah, that'd be so nice.
My daughter would get to go to college.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. I would be able to eat out every meal.
Would have college fun.
Oh my God, be able to eat out breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Lunch, and dinner. Maybe I would have a chef.
Yeah.
Chef.
We'll see.
If you could have a chef or nanny or someone to clean your house every day, you can only pick one, obviously.
I would not choose nanny.
I know you would not. Right. So just chef and
I would choose nanny that was also a housekeeper.
I would choose chef.
Yeah, you would choose chef. I would choose nanny who's a housekeeper. Can I get that?
No.
Oh, fuck me.
She's in school, so.
Yes.
Yeah, it's your guy's housekeeper.
Same. Keep my shit clean, please.
Well, hey, you did a great job.
You
of
did an amazing
thanks so much, guys.
Job.
It's been so fun.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. Do you want us to do the outro?
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. So first of all, if you would like to schedule a session with the wonderful Vlada Rotenberg, she has some availability in the Westchester office and virtually, you can reach out and fill out a contact form. Thank you so much for listening to Shrink Chicks today. If you thought this was helpful or might be helpful for a friend, I don't know why it would be, send it on over. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe and follow on Apple Podcasts. We just opened up a new Philadelphia location. If you are looking for therapy in Philadelphia, you can reach on out. We have a Westchester location and we are seeing clients virtually in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Florida, Massachusetts, California. And that is it for now.
And don't forget that to grow yourself,
gotta know yourself.
Yeah.
Whoa! We'll see you all next week on Shrink Chicks.